Welcome to Crystal Clear Finances, where we believe that finances can be confusing, but you don't have to face it alone, and you can have confidence for every financial decision. My name is Crystal Langdon, and I am joined by my co-host, none other than George Amador III. Hey, G, I love saying it that way. None other. Drum roll, please.
Well, thank you very much. I always love the introductions, and it's awesome. I think it's crazy to think it's been 5 weeks all the way from the round table to through Christmas, which Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Yes.
And now we are here in January 2021. Can you believe it? We made it. We're here.
And it's going to be a phenomenal year. Let's just set the record straight.
Absolutely it is. And so we're really excited, and it's an awesome time. And, you know, today as we finish up establishing your financial freedom, take control of your money. You know, we talked all about the philosophies behind it. We talked about educate, apply, implement. We've had 2 weeks of money misconceptions, and we're going to do a half a week on the last one we didn't get to last week. But ultimately, at the end of the day, when we sit down and say, how can we take back control? Again, financial freedom is all about, I need to get in the driver's seat, take control of my money so my money doesn't take control of me.
And you know, G, I always want to bring this up, and I've been bringing it up consistently over the past few weeks, but I think it's because it resonates and it hit home with me as I'm meeting with individuals and I'm asking them, when it comes to money, the most important thing to me is what? And as they begin to think of it and they think about what does financial freedom really mean, I just can't get away from that one example where that gentleman said, he said, Crystal, if I could just leave this job that I hate, take a pay cut and go do something I love, I would feel that I am experiencing financial freedom because I'm not allowing my situations out there to dictate where I work and what I have to do and the stress level of it. I'm actually enjoying life. And can you imagine? Well, I know this feeling, and hopefully you're going to say you know this feeling too, working at a place where you love to go because a lot of people don't have that feeling.
Yeah.
But if they have financial freedom, if they could call the shots in their life, they could. And I love that because it really comes back to control. And when they can get control of their finances, when they can understand how it works, then you're right. They have that confidence for every decision that they're making.
Yeah, and it's not even just control your finances. You control your finances, you control your life. Like your example right there. We're not just talking about little, you know, tools and resources and philosophies so you can have more money in your bank account. We're talking about strategy that allows you to take control of your life. Call the shots, right? Be able to be in a position where now I don't have to be tied to the 9-to-5 job. I don't have to be doing the things I don't like to do. I can step into my calling that God has called me to be in simply because I don't have to worry about my bank accounts.
And I think what stops us a lot from getting into that is that we have inaccurate information. Because it's really not a lack of intelligence that keeps people from being financially free. It's just that the information that they've received is just the same information that's been taught for years and years and years, which much of it is inaccurate. You know, we've talked about, you were sharing an example even before we started the radio program today about stories that you're hearing where people were given horrendous, in my opinion, advice that you think, oh my gosh, you just cost that person at least easily $1 million.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I'll just give the example of the story. You know, I was watching a certain radio program, and not ours, because ours is awesome. And I was listening to a story of a young teenage boy who's 14 years old. He started a business with his brother, really smart guy. And him and his brother had some issues, I guess. And long story short, he was in debt about $14,000 or $15,000, or maybe $20,000 in debt to his brother. But he had about $15,000 in a bank account.
Okay.
Well, the advice that was given was take all of the money out of your bank account and give it to your brother to pay the debt off. And I literally am like watching the YouTube video, like wanting to scream at the individual giving advice, going, that is so wrong.
Yes.
Because the philosophy for that individual was, all debt is bad debt. Get out of debt. You're going to ruin your life. And I'm sitting there going, you're 14. You have 15 grand that you can put into the market, that you can put into safe money, that you could get working for you, to where with compound interest at 6% or 7%, you could make so much money on that over the course of your life that that $20,000 loan to your brother would be nothing in 10, 15, 20 years from now. So the idea that we get this information from the quote-unquote professionals about debt is bad, don't ever touch debt, in this example is just one example, and I have tons where that so wrong, because really what that did was cripple that young teenager's life, where that $14,000 could have made so much money in the market. Not guaranteed, obviously, there's risks involved, but even if you could have put it in guaranteed money and, you know, permanent life insurance and an annuity in these different areas, we could have made so much more with compound interest. People don't know something as simple as compound interest.
And that goes back to what I'm saying, is that people think a lot of times to experience financial freedom, what they're going to do is have to get all these investments. But a lot of times what it is just go back to the beginning and find what's tripping you up.
Yeah.
Find those little truths that say, hey, so you got 15,000. Why don't we put some even if they had just said, let's put it in something safe so you can get 5% interest compounding tax-free. Can you imagine where he would be at 50 years old?
Oh my goodness.
So one of the things that we have to begin doing, I believe, is begin challenging the things that we're hearing and saying, huh, is that really true? I always tell my kids, follow the money. If someone says something, I always think, what is the benefit to them? And I follow the money back, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. And what I want to do before we jump into that some more, I want to kind of segue a little bit, because when we were talking on last week's program, and again, people can go back to our YouTube channel and watch it, we had talked about how there is such a misunderstanding when it comes to compounding interest versus amortization. And knowing this, and I think what happens is we get so used to, as Americans, having compounding interest working against us that we don't even want to pay attention. But what if, in working together, we could find a way to, which we can. That's why I say that we can help people have uninterrupted compounding interest that grows tax-free for them. And after we go through proving it on our computer here, then I want to say, let's talk about some real live examples of that. But let me walk through this, because last week when we did our YouTube and we did our radio, I kind of ran out of time because I was talking too much. So let's get this out of the way and let's talk about compounding interest. So you should be able to see my computer screen if you're on YouTube, and you're able to see that what if we were to take $30,000, and that $30,000 was able to get 5%, like we know that we can, with uninterrupted compounding interest, and ours is tax-free, that we could see over a course of time that in 5 years, that $30,000 would grow to $38,501. We stopped last week, and I want to reiterate it, and we said many people don't look at their savings account and think that. They just see the $30,000 and say, that's all I have in my savings account, and they don't look at the opportunity and the growth that's in there.
Yeah.
So when they pull that $30,000 out, they're pulling the $30,000, they think the car that they're buying is $30,000. Yeah, no. That's really, the car is $38,501, because you spent your cash and what that money could have made for you.
Yep.
But they say, I don't want to have a loan. And what we've got to understand, that loans are amortized. And I want to show how that works. So what I'm going to do on my screen is I'm showing, okay, well, what if I had a $30,000 loan?
Yep.
I chose to keep my money, we're going back to this theme, in control, that I have it. I'm not letting it be lazy money. So we've worked together. We've positioned it in a way so that they can have their money growing for them. So that money continues to grow. So it's going upward, right? But when we look at amortization, as you said so eloquently last week, there's paying their interest, a lot of it up front.
Yeah.
And over the course of time, year by year, that goes lower. So as the loan interest goes down, right? The rain comes down, the flood goes up. Is that how the song went? So when the loan interest goes down, our compounding interest goes up, and we make out better in the end. Because if you look at this, here's your $30,000 loan that you took. And we're going to do apples to apples, 5%. We can see over the course of that 5 years, they paid $3,968 in interest. So same period of time, but what we're trying trying to show is when we understand amortization versus compounding interest that goes up, there is a difference.
Huge.
And we need to take that into consideration.
Yeah, absolutely. And so as you can see on the screen, and we can re-say it for radio, the money we made because of compound interest was more than the money we spent because of amortized interest.
Exactly.
And that's very key. In fact, I've run these numbers a million different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually, if you really wanted to get creative, you can actually see that in some cases, amortizing a loan at a higher interest rate than what you're even making when you compound can still win in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, you have to look at it and say, listen, when I compound my money, when I can actually break the mold of I have to keep my money in a bank to be safe. I have to keep my money in a bank and it's not going to earn me anything. We have to break that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
We have to say, listen, there's other places we can go to get this. When we sit down at Crystal Clear Finances with our clients every single day and show them areas in the financial world where they can get uninterrupted compound interest,
yep,
a lot more than 0.9 or 0.1 or
point,
let's call it
nothing.
Point nothing.
Yeah, I agree. So I wanted to make sure I kept my word. We talked about the compounding interest. We talked about amortization.
Yeah.
But where I want to finish on today's program, and I know we still got about 20 minutes left, so don't turn that channel. But I want to talk about taxes, because that's an area, G, that a lot of people don't realize. We do have some options.
Oh,
and
yeah,
we need to understand where we are, because what happens is people look at where we are currently in this country and they say, this is horrible. And I agree. I do not like paying one penny more of taxes than I have to.
Yep.
But we have to look at the big picture of where we've been. So what I'm going to do for those who are following us on YouTube is I'm actually going to pull up our tax history. And I want to talk about it a little bit. Because when we look to see where we have been, I mean, you go back 1913, 7%, and then you go up to where we are today, we can see that taxes will range all over the place and tax thresholds change as well.
Very key, very key. And one of the things that I just want to point out with taxes, because this is an area of life, we talked about this before, where people lose money unknowingly and unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So that means you can control this area of your life.
Yes.
And I want to really say that, because taxes is something where most people think that I just made this money, hopefully I get a good CPA or a good tax preparer so I can pay less taxes,
mm-hmm,
than I did the year before. And oh well, here, Uncle Sam, here's all my money.
Yeah.
That does not have to be the case.
With
proper planning and putting the right positioning in place, you can control your taxes. The crazy part about what you're seeing on the screen is we in our nation's history have actually seen tax rates really high. 70%, 90% tax rates in the United States. That was a real thing. That's not made up. People think, no way was it that high. Actually, it used to be that high.
Oh, yeah.
And when I look at that, I think to myself, okay, well, if it used to be there, and with the political landscape of our times, forget about right now. I'm just talking in the next 30 years,
mm-hmm,
where our political landscape could go.
Right.
We do have one side of the aisle that does argue for increased taxes.
Oh, and they do it no hiding. They're not like just kind of sneaking it in. It's like, yeah, so I think that we're going to do this huge increase in tax. If in 1945, taxes were at 94% for anything over $200,000. 94%.
Yeah, 94%.
I remember that they would say that Ronald Reagan would only make one movie. I know that's not 94, but he would make one movie a year. And then after that, he'd go stay on his ranch. He would just enjoy the rest of the year, because he said if he made a movie after that, it pushed him over into the tax bracket.
Yeah.
He literally barely made anything. He's like, why would I kill myself for 6 months out of the year only to keep maybe 10%, 6%?
Yeah.
So he did one movie a year. Can you imagine that? That was his tax planning.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to paint a doom and gloom picture
here,
but at the end of the day, like, it's not unforeseen or unreasonable to think that we could see a tax rate that high in some point in our lifetime. And if that was ever to be the case,
mm-hmm,
then we have to look at where taxes are today, say, hey, if I can control my money, and I can decide where I want to put it,
mm-hmm.
then maybe it's better to pay the taxes now so I don't even have to worry about paying 70 or 90% tax in the future. It's another big area where we can control and establish that financial freedom.
Absolutely. And I want to give one more example before we go to the break. You know, a lot of people, this is probably a huge eye-opener for individuals. They'll come into the office and they have scrimped and saved. They put everything into that 401k. They come in, they're so excited. They put that statement out in front of me and they say, Crystal, here is $1 million I have in my 401k, and we did the math. If we divide it by however many years we think we're going to live, this is what we'll be able to live on. And before we go any further, I always ask them, did you account for the taxes? What taxes? And then, as you can see for our YouTube viewers, if you had $1 million just on today's tax rate, and then we will show that 70 and we will show the 94, but on today's taxes, if you were to take that all out at a 36% tax rate, that means you get to keep $640,000, and the government, you saved, invested, scrimped, and saved so that the IRS could have $360,000.
Sad.
Aren't you so sweet?
Yeah.
No. This is when we don't be nice. This is when we start saying, let's start taking care of our family.
That's right.
Now, let's take this same $1 million and let's talk about how they're promoting to be at a 70% tax bracket. Well, when we look at that, we can see what it does. And then if I can get there, there we go. 700,000 goes to the IRS. 300,000 we keep. And let's just go visit back where we were at the 91% tax rate. And we can see that we get to keep 100,000 and the government gets to keep 900,000. Yeah. Do you think, gee, this is my question to you, could it be possible that maybe, just maybe, that the government is promoting the 401k because they might have something, a benefit related to it?
Well, I don't like saying this all the time, but a 401k, a traditional IRA, what we do as Americans is basically put money into the largest government piggy bank known to man.
Yeah.
Because the government gets to say what tax rates are.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm putting my money into an account that is subject to what the government decides tax rates will be, I've given up control. It goes back to financial freedom. I give up my control in my accounts because now what I'm doing is I'm putting my money there. And don't get me wrong, 401ks are useful.
Oh,
401ks are great. IRAs work. I'm not saying don't do it.
Right.
What I am saying, though, is don't come in and say, I have to put every single penny that I earn into a 401k. That's probably not the best thing to do. You don't necessarily have to max out all of the plans. Now, there's pros and cons to all of these things, but again, we're just showing generalities here. We have to understand how it applies to you. And in a lot of cases, like we're showing, we know we have a debt problem in this country. We know that taxes are most likely going to increase at some point in time in our life. Why put money in something that I know will probably cost me more later?
Exactly. And it's because we've been trained to.
Yes.
It's because we think that that's part of the financial plan. And when I sit down with individuals, I say, tell me something good that's happening in your financial life. And they say, Crystal, I'm maxing out my 401k. And I say, what's that? What else? What else? And it's, and like you said, it's good. It's a start.
Yeah.
But again, we want to start questioning, is this in my best interest?
Yeah.
And what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back with more crystal clear finances. You say tomato, and I say tomato, yet they both mean the same thing. This is Crystal Langdon with today's financial gem. When you hear the words financial freedom, what comes to mind? For some, it's having the resources needed to live and give without concern of running out of money. For others, it's the ability to leave a job that they don't enjoy, to accept a position with lower pay but higher satisfaction. Regardless of your definition, we all have a form of financial freedom we want to enjoy. The key is defining what financial freedom means to you, then taking the first steps in gaining control over your finances by understanding how money works and how to apply it to your financial situation. Call Crystal Clear Finances today at 518-433-7181 and gain confidence for every financial decision.
Hey And we're back with more Crystal Clear Finances. My name is George Amador, as always, joined by the lovely one and only Crystal Langdon, CEO of Crystal Clear Finances. And Crystal, we were just talking before the break about taxes, right? Mm-hmm. And explaining how taxes are another area where we need to understand that we can control.
Yes.
I just want to start with by saying this. You know, I unfortunately had a situation come into my office very recently where an older woman came in. She's about 65 years old. And was looking at, you know, possibly retirement or just help in her financial life.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a ton of money to her name and basically said, I need to take all of this money and I need to put it into the stock market so that way I have more money so I can live on.
Mm.
And I sat there and really explained that we really shouldn't be going down that path for you to acquire more dollars.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that to say, we've been trained in our life that the stock market's where we're gonna earn money.
Yeah.
The stock market's where we're gonna grow our money. And yeah, I know there's risk involved, but I'm willing to take that risk. I'm willing to give up these dollars in order for me to make more money.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that I have to put all of my dollars in the stock market so I can have more money is just simply not true.
Right.
But we've been taught for so long that that's the case. The institution has taught us that's where we have to put our money. That we get to an age and say, okay, I have to do this. I have no other choice, George. I have to make money. And we don't have to live that way when we understand what we can actually do with it.
You know, I don't know if I've told this story on radio or ever told you this story, but I know that when, and you know my background as far as stay-at-home mom, raising the kids, husband at a trucking company, largest client goes bankrupt, and then leaves us with all these thousands of dollars of unpaid debt. So now we're trying to figure out how to make ends meet. We go to the financial planners, pushed away, the whole thing. So finally what happens, though, is that I get a job at a financial planner's office. Now, at that point, I didn't even know what a mutual fund was, life insurance, whole life insurance, nothing, right? So I get in there and I start getting my licenses and start learning this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, look what the stock market can do.
Yeah.
You could get 20% return. And I'm like, to me, what it became, G, was that was going to be my silver bullet.
Yeah.
Everything that I had lost trying to save the trucking company, everything that we had lost, I could make it all back. And so I remember sitting down with that financial advisor who was letting me work in his office. And I said, this is how much money we finally have paid off our debt. We're out of credit card debt. We did it. I don't have any savings, but put it in the market.
Mm.
And, you know, there were a lot of things we disagreed on, but that was one he did so well. And he said, Crystal, no, I won't do that for you. I was so upset. I was not impressed at the moment. But he said, no, what you need to do is begin to build a green tank. And I said, are you kidding me? That's 3%. I have to, just like this woman was saying, I have to make this money.
Yeah.
So we went back and forth and had a verbal exchange. And then I didn't get to open up the account. I opened up a savings account and grudgingly began to put in it. So about 6 months later, I remember I was in church, right? And all of a sudden, one of George's friends had came up to me, taps me on the shoulder, and he says, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, well, just a minute. I'm about to give a word. And I got up and did this little scripture verse, and I came back. He's like, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, yes, Billy. I always remember this. And he said, your husband's been hit by a car. He's been thrown 30 feet. He's broken his bones. He's on his way to the hospital. Do you want to come with me?
Wow.
So I remember just wanting to collapse on the floor because we had finally worked our way out of bankruptcy. We had finally gotten to where I was starting to learn how finances work. We finally had money that we could save. And now I had a husband who was injured and I didn't know how bad. So the whole way I'm riding up in Billy's car and I remember I'm just praying and praying like, oh God, this is never going to work. This is so long story short, he had broken his leg in a couple of places and he was out of work 6-9 months, didn't heal right, the whole kind of thing.
Wow.
So while we're doing this, now watch this, is that we only had the disability, which didn't really pay that much.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had my salary, which really didn't pay that much. But we had the savings, G.
Mm.
Everything that financial advisor had told me to do that I totally resented, that I felt like I should have a silver bullet and should be putting it in the market. Between that, the disability, my paycheck, we didn't go into debt. And for 9 months, think of this, for 9 months, he got to be a dad again to my kids. Because when we walked through that whole situation, we were just scraping, trying to get by. He worked, he finished doing the trucking company, and he got a job hauling cars. I remember he would be so sick, G, he'd roll down the window, throw up out the side of the car and just keep driving.
Wow.
He just drove and drove and drove, doing everything he knew to keep our family fed.
Wow.
And now the kids were growing up without a dad.
Mm.
And so for God to give us that opportunity in life where he got to stay home and be dad, and we didn't go backwards.
Mm.
And I know it's because the faithfulness of God, yes, but it's also because we knew that the stock market is not a silver bullet strategy.
That's right.
You have to do it right. You have to put your savings in place. Then when you have your 2 weeks living expense and you have your 1 month living expense at a local bank, and then you begin to build that green tank, now you're safe. Your oxygen mask is on. Now go play in the market.
Yeah.
But you don't go play in the market if your oxygen mask isn't on. And that's what saved my family from spiraling again into that feeling of, oh, we're going to go bankrupt, and coming out of it. Didn't mean to be a downer, but I mean, that was just huge.
That's incredible.
In my life.
No, it really is true, because at the end of the day, what did that financial planner give you? He gave you control.
Yeah.
He gave you control of your money, whether you realized it or not. It's not like he took your money, but he gave you the advice and the education to say, listen, that's not the best place to put that right now.
Yeah.
And we so often, as Americans, because we watch this, the news, and the stock market does this, and I wish if I would have picked that one stock and I never sold it, I'd be a gajillionaire.
Oh, how many times have we heard that?
All the time. You hear this stuff all the time. And really, what it comes down to is our money controlling us, or are we controlling it? And in that scenario, what it boils down to in your life, you've seen it practically, is we have to be at a position where we can actually sit here and say, I have control of my finances. And that's really, really key. There's so many things that can happen in life. And when you don't have all of the buckets right, I think of all of the people who come in who are not in the right financial position and come in after the story, after the car accident, and go, I don't have anything. I don't know what to do.
And 9 times out of 10, the stock market's down. And then now you're trying to go in there, and what they did have is now already reduced. And yet they're having to pull from that and then paying penalties if they put it in a retirement plan. So much.
But when it rains, it pours, right? And that's and what ends up happening. And so ultimately, you know, you're put in a position where, again, you don't have that control. And so, you know, I think this entire series, which has been a great series
to do, it has.
Really gets down to, I really hope that our listeners and viewers really just take a moment to step back and question, hey, what am I doing?
Yeah.
What does my financial plan look like? Like I say all the time, everybody has a financial plan and is on a financial plan. But taking a moment to step back and say, what is it actually doing? Where is my money coming in? Where is it going out? How do I get on that personal economic model?
This program is for educational purposes only. We understand that finances are complex. Facing them alone causes stress, resulting in wrong choices, missing out on opportunities, and having to settle for a lower standard of living. At Crystal Clear Finances, our team approach focuses on providing clarity and confidence so you can make the right financial decisions.
Investment advisory services offered through Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC. Alpha Star Capital Management, LLC, and Crystal Clear Finances are separate entities.